Welcome to Manager Tools. Today's cast, the high I simple downfall. In today's cast, we address a behavioral change for an insidious practice of high I managers, starting well and finishing poorly. Here we go. Well, this is the one I've been waiting for, my friend. Are you telling me that high eyes actually have insidious practices? I just can't believe that.
Yeah, it's terrible, isn't it? I mean, we all think of ourselves as pretty darn good, but, you know, I admit it. We have failings, too.
I suppose most folks have listened to it, but if you haven't, last time we covered some of the insidious practices of high C's, difficult people that they are. And that being that they're perfectionists, right?
Yeah.
When something comes up, right, they immediately, as Marshall Goldsmith likes to say, immediately try to add too much value, right? And, you know, they like to point out things that aren't quite as perfect as they could be and ways that ideas could be made better.
Yeah, and there are people who are listening right now who say, well, what's wrong with being a perfectionist and why wouldn't you want to try to make things better, right? And unfortunately, a lot of the directs of high C managers don't hear what the high C manager probably means, which is, this is good, let's make it better. Because, look, it was a really bad idea, I wouldn't even comment, but it's a good idea, so let's make it better. Why wouldn't we want to be closer to perfect? And what the direct hears is, your idea is wrong, it's bad, I'm smarter than you, I'm just going to show you that it's not really good, so don't get your hopes up for being great. I know how to make your wrongness right, so to speak.
Right. And by the way, if you're thinking to yourself, well, why wouldn't anyone want their idea made better? Well, then you're probably a high C boss, and you should probably go back and listen to the last cast.
Yeah. Good one.
So we spent enough time beating up on high C's already. So tell me about high I's. What are we going to talk about with high I's?
Yeah. You know, we did say that many high C's can be found in IT and technical areas. High I bosses, if you want to increase your chances of seeing one in the wild, are more likely found over in sales and marketing. Now, that is a total overgeneralization, by the way. One of Mike and I's favorite managers in the world is an off-the-charts high I, who in the last few years has gotten a much higher D, by the way, as she gets promoted. She works in software development and telecom, and she totally knows who she is, and we're certain she's listening, so you know who you are. The high I manager, as opposed to high C, is often one step away from chaos in managing their work and their team. They don't plan. They believe that their insights and their network can solve any problem. They start work and then lose interest. Their team feels pulled in 100 different directions. And at this pace of operational tempo now in most organizations, that, in conjunction with a boss who then adds to it, is very, very difficult to deal with. And because directs feel they're always at risk of working on the wrong thing, they're never quite sure whether or not they should give everything to a given task, because they're never really told, you know, what's most important. Look, it'd probably be good to just go right into the whole terminology thing here, don't you think?
Sure. Yeah.
Why not? Yeah. So for those of you who aren't familiar with the technology, we're using something called disk profile information to characterize the behavioral tendencies of managers. For the purposes of this cast, and you'll hear it referred to, if you're just joining us, you'll hear us recur to this theme over and over again through the years. For the purpose of this cast, a high I, or an influencing manager, is one who is a people-focused, energetic, outgoing boss. Life of the party, he or she tends to smile. They use people's names well. They always have a story to share. They love to present. They love to be in front of any crowd. They talk fast. They make decisions quickly. High D's and high I's are the people for whom the phrase ready, fire, aim was invented. Actually, more like just ready, fire. They're okay with messy projects as long as things get done. Something in high C would just say, if it's messy, it's not worth doing, right? Let's keep things neat.
Yeah, it's not worth doing. It's probably wrong, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It could be messy, right.
Yeah, exactly.
Not that I'm a high C, you would know that or anything.
Yeah. Like that.
No.
But we said it before, they're often found in sales and marketing roles. But look, all behavioral tendencies can be found anywhere, just to a greater or lesser degree. And if you want to know more about DISC, which we find an incredibly accurate behavioral tool, not a personality tool, not a now I have a label for you tool, but a behavioral tendency tool, we offer the DISC profile. It's 28 questions, takes about 30 minutes. It's on our website, and you can get it in a bunch of other places as well. You don't need to get it from us, and you can just Google the word DISC, D-I-S-C, and learn everything you need to know. And if you're like every other person who's ever taken it, you will get the results back, provided you answer accurately, and you will be stunned at the insights that the tool has about you. And that's one of the big reasons why we like it.
Good. Awesome. Now, like if anybody thinks in this cast, and we ought to say this because some people will get their feelings hurt, perhaps, we're not picking on anyone. Matter of fact, we're using these casts to start off and pick on our own little failings. You know, I'm a high C, and frankly, everything that we talked about in our previous cast on the high C insidious practice, I agreed with.
And I'm a high I, and I know firsthand the damage that can be done with a tendency to not follow through, which is a classic high I failing. We started with C's and I's on this series because we wanted to be first into the breach. You know, leaders set the example, as it were. We will get to high S's and high D's, and we'll do high D's last probably because Mike and I both have high D tendencies as well. No surprise there. Look, we've got three steps in this cast, three important things that are the fundamental failings of high I's.
And so to be clear here, I just want to recap kind of what we said earlier about high I. The real issue we're talking about high I's is they start really well. They get excited, they start well, and then they finish poorly. That's what we're going to address here.
Right. So point one, follow through. Stop starting stuff you don't finish. Number two, follow through. Work your plan and make sure your details are right. And number three, follow through, report professionally on your work. Really, really simple. Now look, there are other things that high I's do, just like there are other things that C's and D's and S's and do. But in the modern world of managers, to constantly be starting things and then stopping, to be starting 100 projects and only finishing two, is wasteful on energy and just not efficient, let alone effective. And just because you love the idea doesn't mean you get to do it.
Good. Let's talk about our first point, this tendency of high eyes. And you know who you are out there to fall in love with these new shiny things, new ideas.
Always. Yeah. Look, they, if you're a high eye, you love a great idea. And really, you're in love with the idea itself. Not necessarily as much the impact of the idea. You want to talk about the new concept. You want everyone on the team to get together and talk about it. You love those sessions where everybody gets together and brainstorms about the idea. You get excited about it. They solve it or figure out how it might be put into practice. And you want to get it out the door now, and you want profits to flow in tomorrow. If you're a high I, you want to revel in that exchange of ideas. You want to rub shoulders and elbows with other people talking about how great this process or system or new product or new service or better way or new hire or acquisition target is the one that will make everything easier, better, cheaper, faster, smoother, cleaner, richer, cooler, or awesomer.
Awesomer. Oh, good word.
Yeah, that's not a word, but I promise you the high I's totally love that word, awesomer.
High C's like me probably like, no.
Yeah, the high C's immediately said, hey, that's not a word.
Exactly.
Okay. For you high eyes, it is the high eyes of the manager worlds who come up with the managerial world who come up with the best ideas. I'm really quite serious. the problem is you're in high eyes, you're going, yeah, that's right. We do. We have lots of ideas. Unfortunately, for the high eyes, it's the high D's through their force of will, the high C's through detailed management of the work, and the high S's paying attention to their team who actually get that job done and turn the idea into profit or results. All the ideas in the world matter not if they're not brought to fruition, to profit. Everybody else, much more so than high I's, tends to stick with the few ideas they have, different reasons for all of them, and they see those few ideas through to completion. But, you know, but us high eyes, we come up with ideas, but we don't drive them home. We don't make them happen. We don't follow through. Again, we fall in love with the joy of creation, but then don't raise a successful child. You know, we love the idea creation stuff, but not the dirty work of implementation. I hate to say it, but high eyes love sex and hate child rearing.
Oh, okay. For those of you who like to like Twitter little sayings that Marx comes up with,
yeah,
this would not be the one.
Yeah.
Just hold your tweets. No.
Yeah. And look, the fact is, I was joking earlier. The fact is, not all of high eyes ideas are the best ever, right? The best ever, right? They're not. And you know it. And then you behave like you know it when you abandon the best idea ever in favor of the next best idea ever.
So what do you do? What does a high eye do when you have these great ideas?
The next time you have the best idea ever, and that thought goes through your head, Manager Tools recommends keep that idea to yourself. Don't tell anyone.
The moment
a high eye involves his or her team in the best idea ever, now we're talking organizational resources. That idea, when it's yours and you're enjoying it, is fine. We have no problem with that. We love ideas. We love creativity. Every organization wants every manager to be a leader and to be creative and to come up with new ways to serve or grow or what have you, or become more efficient. It's when you involve your team that now you're committing organizational resources. And if you don't follow through on that idea, every ounce of energy put to that idea is wasted. Now, look, we know it's impossible for you to keep your idea to yourself. The whole beauty of the idea is sharing it, batting it around, right? We got that. But again, the ideas are worthless without being put to use. And even though what you get out of the exchange of ideas with others and the brainstorming and so on is nice, it's certainly wonderful, it's worthless to the organization. So at first, let's keep that idea to ourselves. Put it on the shelf for a day or two. I know this. It's happened to me. The first thing you want to do is share it. Dude, I got a great idea, right? But look, if it still grabs you 2 days later, it's worth going to the next step, and you can consider applying organizational resources to it. And the next step, by the way, is thinking about the plan to make it happen and the risks and the resources and the results and so on. But look, if you can't let it sit, and after it's sat, then get excited about working through the early tasks and coming up with a work plan, you don't love it enough for your idea to make it to adulthood. So the failing here of not following through is you inflict it on the team, your directs, who look, you have the power to give us guidance, right, to ask us to do stuff, but you don't necessarily imbue us with a love of the idea. We will work on it if you lead us to do so, but look, if you put your best foot forward and then drag the other one behind and get us excited and leave us hanging, we're going to start to lose interest in general in all of your ideas for fear that we're not making progress.
Let me stop you there and ask you a question. I'm gonna take myself and I'm gonna squeeze into some high eye skin. It's really creepy,
ooh,
by the way. It's really, ooh, just really totally, yeah, freaking me out.
Okay.
But like, I'm a high eye. I got a great idea. I just want to share the idea. I'm not necessarily telling the high C's and the high D's to start going and doing it, right? I just want to share the idea. And sometimes these high C's and high D's, they get the idea that just because I'm sharing an idea and I'm excited about an idea, that somehow that means go work on it. And that's not necessarily true. So I should be able to just share my excitement.
Actually, to them, it is true, right? When you're in France, speak French, right? If we're in France listening to Manager Tools France, thanks to Cedric, right? I'm not going to ask a Parisian for, you know, a question that's in complicated English because I'm not going to get anywhere. When you present a new idea to a high D or a high C, particularly those people on the task side of the equation, their first thought is, what is the work required to get this done? Regardless of whether you intend to just share, quote unquote, right? They're not really that interested in you sharing. So when you share your idea, what they hear is, this is something that could work. Let's plan it. Let's work it. Let's make it happen. Because results matter. Work matters. Results matter. You're just trying to be social almost as a high eye. They're trying to get work done because they think about work before they think about people. So yeah, you don't intend for that to happen, but it doesn't matter what, you know, it doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what everybody else hears. All that matters is what they think they hear. And what they think they hear is, this is something I would expect you to work on, particularly if you're the boss.
Yeah, if you're the boss and you're excited about something, your directs want to go make it happen.
Yeah.
And high D and C's, that's how they're wired. They're wired.
Yeah.
High D's particular are wired to make it happen, and high C's to plan it out in detail and find out all the issues and fix it and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, you got it.
And if you work for a pretty good executive, a pretty sharp executive who sees the big picture and he sees you as being a high I, and one of your team members, a high D or a high C, particularly a high C, works for you and gets to know your boss, the executive, and the executive might take him or her aside one day and say, you know, it's good that you work for Mark because his stuff, he's got so many great ideas, but man, somebody's got to keep him in line. You know, he's got to follow through. He can't put his best foot forward and then drag the other one behind. He needs someone like you to keep him on the straight and narrow. He can't just be fireworks all the time. It has to be the nitty gritty work of making things happen and getting things done. And so the high C says, oh, okay, good. Gosh, this executive says that about me. You know, I'm clearly part of the team of people that report to Mark, and I'm supposed to, you know, I add to his total ability. If we had nothing but high I's working for Mark, it'd be a party all the time, but nothing ever get done. So I'm playing an important role in hearing his ideas and figuring out how to make it happen. While at the same time, I, as the high I manager, am thinking, no, I just really want to share. It's okay, to your point. And that's not how it actually happens, right?
Yeah, not at all.
Yeah. So look, you've got to wait. Now, look, we know this is counter, but in the first cast, it's counter to your normal tendencies as a high I. But we don't make recommendations about what's easy. We make recommendations about what works. We believe in putting organizational effectiveness in front of personal preference. So we know what your preference is, and your preference is one of your weaknesses. And high I's have strengths too, by the way, just like high C's and D's and S's and so on. We all have strengths and weaknesses. So our guidance here, at least when you have that at the beginning of when the first new idea pops into your brain and you say, wow, it's fabulous, wait. Take time to plan. Again, put organizational effectiveness in front of personal preference. Engage your team only after you've done your own private. And it doesn't have to be immediate. I mean, wait a couple of days after you've done your own private due diligence on your best idea ever, right? That way, your team won't feel burned after 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 false starts. And they won't start seeing you as flavor or idea of the month manager, and then begin to withhold effort as a way of conserving their own resources. And I've seen it happen. It's happened to me, and I don't recommend it. So take the time, wait, and plan.
Step 2, follow through, work the plan, and make sure your details are right. I mean, not that high eyes have ever had any problem once they've hatched an idea of doing the dirty work and doing all the stuff necessary to produce or sell the idea or the product or the service. They just love the dirty work.
High I's and high D's that were the people for whom the saying was invented. Nothing's impossible for the person who doesn't have to do it him or herself, right? High I's are really bad about doing the dirty work necessary to take an idea to fruition. Now look, and high I would say, but you can't get anywhere without ideas. And the high D and the high C would say, yeah, and you can't actually have results without the hard work. And we can either stare at each other across the fence with the high S wanting us to tear down the fence, or we can combine what we're good at as high I's, ideas, with what we need to do to create results, which is the D and C, the work, the task, the planning, or we can simply spin our wheels. Look, think about producing the idea itself. Look, if you're thinking about a new product, if you think you've got a really neat new product, a new gadget, new idea for your organization, new products require cost-benefit analyses. You have to do one. You have to know how your organization does it. It will require a spreadsheet. Or if you're not going to do one, you have to assign it to somebody and then check to make sure it's done, because some of the people who are going to make the decision about whether or not you can or cannot do it are high C's, and they will expect a cost-benefit analysis in order to convince them in their language, in their way, that what you're suggesting is right. If you assign it to somebody, you have to check to make sure it's done, and then you have to check it again to make sure it's right.
In high highs, checking that it's done and things are going forward is part of the dirty work of running projects, of implementing ideas, of getting things done. You just can't talk about it at a meeting, get all excited about it, and then walk away from your idea thinking it's going to get done. This is part of the dirty work, in my experience at High Eyes, frequently fail to follow through with.
And you're right, and it goes even further than that. After they have the idea and after they come up with a plan, they can't stand in front of their team each week and say, everybody doing good on Project X? Okay, great. Really excited about that, guys. Can't wait to see what you guys got done. That's not checking. That's icing, okay? What you have to do is say, okay, how many tasks do we have this week? Are they done or not? Which ones are yellow? Which ones are red? Which ones are green? Who's got what? Why are we behind? How can I help? When will we be back on track? And so on.
And unfortunately, sometimes when there's problems and things aren't going the way you want it to go, sometimes you actually have to talk about what the problem is. You have to actually get into the details. I know. That's hard.
Details?
Yeah, exactly. Hence why we don't do this.
Yeah. Look, it's not effective to just assume because you have great people working for you. My people are great. They're fabulous. I love them, right? It's not effective to just assume that all the calculations are right. If you don't want to check them yourself, that's okay. But that course of action, you not checking it, requires you to assign the checking to somebody else and to take full responsibility for their work without being certain they did it as well as you could have. Right? We would suspect that every one of the High Eyes listening to this cast have had at least one project fail, even though it was a totally great idea, because they didn't get their facts straight, or they presented something that wasn't right, or the ideal fell apart under heavy scrutiny, even if it really would have been a good and profitable idea. You have to take the time to develop a plan. Your idea will be bought or not, based not just on the power idea of the idea itself. And look, okay, there are some ideas that everybody wants to work on, but not all of them. But it takes more than just the power idea. It also takes the strength and substance and flexibility, the plan you create to make it come true, because that's how at least half of the organization that you work with thinks. What would it say to an engineer or an accountant on the review board or the people, you know, a level or two levels above you at executive level in your firm, if the idea is great, but the plan is a mess and you don't appear to care much about what they consider the heart and soul of a great outcome, which is dotting the I's and crossing the T's? The fact that you don't want to do that kind of work, and I admit it, the fact that I don't want to do that kind of work at times, because frankly, it keeps us from coming up with another great idea. That fact is irrelevant if others are involved, and they always are, in resource allocation for our work. You have to have both the idea and the plan to get to carry it out.
Yeah. To high D's and high C's, there is a blurring of the distinction between the idea and the plan to execute the idea.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. They become a little bit inseparable, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's not a great idea if it can't be executed, right?
Right.
By definition.
Yeah, exactly.
At least a high D, high C.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, so we talked about producing idea. What about selling the idea? It's not enough to sell an idea to other high eyes by being super energetic, super stoked, and be able to cite incredible numbers if everything works out the way you plan. We have to be able to sell our ideas to everyone in the potential audience, all of the decision makers, including the CFO, who believes not one word of our pitch, save for the spreadsheets.
Yeah, and then she assumes that there's errors in there and she can blow holes in them anyway. So.
Yeah, I mean, all numbers are cooked, particularly if they're forward-looking numbers. They're completely cooked.
And particularly if they're from a high eye.
Yeah, exactly.
Not that high eye would ever exaggerate anything.
No. Why would we need to exaggerate it? The idea is so good, dude, that, you know, seriously, these numbers are actual. I mean, they're in my head, so therefore they're actual.
Yeah, got it.
But look, if the CFO is on the board, if the CFO is part of the people that make the decision, you still have to convince her. We have to sell to those people who are hesitant to commit. High eyes are never hesitant to commit. We have to make the case to those who are risk averse, unlike the high eye. And look, when it comes to the work itself, the detailed nitty-gritty, as we've called it, every mistake we make, every unrealistic expectation that we share and or that they have in their minds about what we're doing, we undermine our credibility. Our idea won't make sense to them if, in fact, it's not followed by the due diligence of a plan that says, this is what's necessary. This is the hard work that I'm willing to do to get this thing out the door. It won't make sense. And high D's, high C's, other people in the world need plans to make sense. Not just a good gut feel. It needs to make sense. If you're not willing to do this kind of in the trenches work with each stakeholder 2, 3, 6 months after that burst of brilliance hits you, then we ought not to start something that we're not going to follow through with. What's going to end up happening is you're going to become the boy who cried wolf, always with a great start, never with a follow through. You know, and big success and or any organizational success you might have is always more about the latter, about follow through, than it is about the former, the great start.
Great. So let's talk about follow through a little bit more, because part of follow through is reporting professionally on your work. And for high eyes, that ain't a lot of fun either.
Yeah. Yeah, they think, well, if I got a plan and I'm working the plan, then everything's fine. But no, you have to actually report and you have to do it right. It is absolutely critical to show how effective you and your team can be in bringing that great idea to fruition. Too many high eyes stumble over detailed reporting and they don't follow a plan. They're not willing to admit failure. They're not willing to reallocate resources. They're not willing to face withering criticism. And they're willing to blame the organization. Oh, you guys killed my idea. Because they may have to have resources or task assignments or team makeup be questioned by third parties who are not disinterested. People who say, hey, he killed my idea. You know, he doesn't like me.
Yeah, and questioned by folks who their natural tendency is to criticize, is to find problems, is to try to make the idea better, i.e. the high C's, for example.
Yeah, and the high I, you know, goes, you know, puts his tail between his legs, walks back to his desk and goes, that's all that guy ever does is criticize. When does he ever have a good idea? He's never had any good ideas ever. And the high C probably says, yeah, you're right, I don't. But just because you think your idea is good, you have a billion of them, just because you think you have a good idea doesn't mean it's actually a good idea, because it takes both the idea and the plan and the hard work to make it happen. And oops, sorry, the high C actually has some authority over this, right?
Well, yeah, and go a step further. Your failure to report, you high I, your failure to report professionally on your project or on your idea sends a message that your idea isn't worthy of a good plan.
Yes. Right?
It's again, that whole tendency of to conflate the idea and the plan in high D, high C's, for example.
Yep. All right. So take time to create a plan. Put it on paper. Ask someone who creates more plans than you do. By the way, you can just swing a dead cat over your head to find somebody. Ask somebody to look at the plan itself separate from the idea. Ask them to make your plan, not the idea, the plan itself bulletproof. Brief the plan in detail. Accept criticism with thanks. Include criticism's ideas into your plan to show flexibility. You can do this through the pre-wire, which we have a great cast on. Do not sacrifice the final profitability and implementation of your idea by thinking that the project to achieve it is the same thing as the idea itself, right? It's not. That's the point we're making. It's both the idea and the plan that is effective. You're good. Or it's the idea and the plan that will make the idea come to life, make it actually have results. You're the idea person. Great. We love that. And a large part of the organization opposed to you is the work people. And you have to have both. The fact that you don't like it that way doesn't change the fact that it's true. Now, once you're working on your project, again, the project is not the idea. The project is the work, but it is necessary for the idea. Do the project the way the organization expects you to. Report on time every week. Make your planning document available in real time on the web or on the internet, wherever. Allow other people to comment, even when they do so for less than professional reasons and you think they're skewering you. In your terms, play their game to win the prize. Don't sacrifice that prize by confusing the prize with the game itself. And by the way, high eyes, if you decide, oh, okay, so this is a selling thing. I've got to get everybody on board. Okay, let me think about how that high C thinks. Okay, I've got to tone it down. I've got to get my ducks in a row. I just can't go in there and wow him. You're good at that when you spend time thinking about it. You just got to be willing to do that part, the political part, the collaborative part, after you have that great idea. Otherwise, again, you're going to burn your team out pretty fast.
Yeah. And by the way, when you are reporting, talking about reporting, you got to report the bad along with the good. You just can't, you know, reporting is not a advertising document to tell people how great your idea is.
That is a great point. You're right. And that's what High Eyes will do, right?
Absolutely.
They'll make it an ad. Yeah. So yeah, you've got to talk about the bad. And look, if you're having somebody else report to you because you don't want to be, or somebody else on your team is doing the reporting, take over for them when the news is going to be bad and let them report when things are on track. When you report a missed deadline, and by the way, that makes you red, you don't get to be green just because we have a solution and it's obviously going to get us where we need to be. You're red when you miss a deadline. Provide detailed rehabilitative and prophylactic steps along the way, right? Immediately say, okay, we missed this one. Here's what we're going to do. Here's why we're doing it. Here's how it's not going to happen again.
Yeah. And a new set of deadlines that you're going to meet no matter what.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And we've moved it back. Our new deadline is this. Here's how it affects the critical path. And we're still on track to meet our end result. This is the hard work that follows the idea. And too many high eyes fail to follow through. Their ideas get out there, they blossom, they bloom, they're excited, and then they die, and the team feels left hanging in a way that's inefficient.
And wasteful.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, so look, wrapping up here, as a manager, getting the most out of anyone's directs gets harder and harder every day. For us high eye bosses, that starting without finishing and the messiness that we consider normal in terms of work, are seen as inefficient and, as you say, wasteful by others. And by the way, including your boss, folks. We've got to be willing to plan more, to follow through, and to build systems that last rather than throwing something together that looks good but breaks easily. So follow through. Stop starting stuff you don't finish. Be willing to set your idea aside. And if it doesn't still grab you in 2 days, leave it there, right? Part two, follow through. Work your plan. Come up with a plan. Work the plan and make sure the details are right. That's an important credibility winner with everybody else in the organization. And then take the time to report professionally on your work. If you do these things, you're going to be seen as a professional as opposed to just a salesperson.
Excellent. Thanks, my friend. I know this one is probably particularly difficult for you to write. So
it was easy. Piece of cake. I've lived this one.
All right, my friend.
Thanks, partner.
We'll see you. Bye. Thanks, everyone. That's it for this week. If you haven't heard yet, we just announced our Chicago March 9th and 10th, 2010, Effective Manager Conference and Effective Communications Conference. If you're interested in joining us for effective communications or effective management, well, check it out on the website, www.managertools.com. All right, folks, see you next week. So long.